Folks, we're going to tee it up and get started here. We're short one for a quorum, but when someone wanders in, Scott, I'll interrupt you guys and we'll call the meeting to order, do the roll in the minutes, and get back on track with you, okay? So, I guess I can't pound the gavel yet, but welcome to the committee, to this gathering of friends, and if you would identify yourself, the tape is running. We'll get started with the testimony. Oh, here we go. Hold everything. Disregard everything I just said. As soon as he gets by the table, we'll call it a quorum and we'll get started. Members, we'll call the Transportation and Policy Finance Committee to order for March 2nd, 2011. The CLA will note the roll as folks come. And we have the minutes in front of us. Anyone can move the minutes except Representative Hornstein or Representative Morrow. Representative Benson will move the minutes.
Chairman, I move the minutes.
Great. Questions, comments, corrections? Seeing none, let's vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you for adopting the minutes. Now we're back on the agenda. And Mr. Peterson, welcome to the officially called meeting of the Transportation Policy Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
My name is Scott Peterson with MnDOT, and with me today is Warren Skolman, who's the in charge of our budget office at MnDOT. And
Warren?
He will be Warren Skolman.
Skolman, thank you.
Yep. And he will be providing me with some needed assistance as we go through some of this information. Mm-hmm. And for everyone's awareness, this information we're about to present is in response to a letter that we received from the chairman asking for a fairly comprehensive set of financial information and other types of information from the department. We don't have a complete set of responses to those questions yet, but we will proceed with the information that we have compiled, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman, and we're just going to kind of go through it in the order in which the questions appear in the letter that you sent us.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, thank you for your good faith effort. No, that'll be appreciated as we walk through it and kind of drill down into some of the numbers. Your cooperation is deeply appreciated. I want you to know that.
Great.
Okay.
All right. So, Mr. Chairman, then, with your permission, we'd like to start with number one, general fund account expenditures. And as you probably are aware, we have very little general fund at the Department of Transportation, and in compared to the total size of our spending. But if you, they don't have copies of the detail. Okay, so we have detail in front of us that you don't have, but we'll put it up on the screen here. We didn't have time to get all that.
All right. Sorry.
So all the general fund expenditures are listed in the material about to see by program, budget activity, and object class. And for those who may not be familiar with that, that identifies whether it's for personnel or supplies of different kinds or contracted services. And so with some history of spending for 2010, the current year, and then the base budget recommendation of the governor for 2012 and 13. And the FTE data is not included in our presentation today, but we'll be glad to come back and talk about that at a future date, which is will be in a separate section of the information that you eventually receive. So we can figure out how to navigate here. As we try to get all this up on the screen.
Is it possible, Mr. Peterson, to have the AV guy, Ron, or is it Travis? There you go. Yeah, close that page. There we go, part of the page. Now we can see the whole thing.
Okay. Thank you for your patience. This, in real terms, was what we call just-in-time delivery of all this information. We're scrambling right up until we walked over here to try and get all this together for you. So forgive us if we're not a completely well-oiled machine here. I see Representative Hornstein trying to see that.
I feel like I'm at the eye doctor, Mr. Chair.
Would you scroll back to the top so we can see the top of the columns, what the headers are?
Okay.
There we go.
So, again, this is data from VBS, which is our statewide budget system, and we have it arranged by program, and you can see across the top the columns represent fiscal years, starting in 2010 and going through 2013. And this is for multimodal systems, the first set of information, which includes our transit function, which is the first one up there. And you'll see that we have about $17,247,000 in transit. And if you go down the column, I'm looking at 2010 here, you go down the column to aids and grants to counties, and then aids and grants to cities and towns, you can see that by far the largest amount of the funds go to those two lines. So again, the transit, $17,247,000 in 2010, and we're looking out into the next biennium at $15 million in the governor's budget proposal that was made earlier this month, and then out into 13, the base is $16,373,000.
Mm-hmm. You say you'll make this available to us after?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
Well, thank you for letting us dwell on it for a moment here.
Yep.
Under line 1AO, Mr. Peterson, full-time, is that employee units that we're seeing on that line?
No, that's Mr. Chairman, no, that's the money that is paid to full-time employees, so the salaries.
$93,000 is allocated to that, okay. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned, the FDE information will be coming
later.
So all the information that we're going to show has to do with spending and budgeted amounts.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Members, questions on this slide or Representative Hornstein?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Peterson, so how much then does Greater Minnesota Transit receive federally? Is that on the chart?
That's a good question, Representative Hornstein. Does this include all funds or just general funds?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hornstein, this just includes the general fund portion, so it does not include the MVEST that goes into the Transit Assistance Fund or the federal funds.
Would we find that in this book on a page here in our, Mr. Peterson?
Mr. Chairman, the federal funds are in your budget book, but that's also a part of our presentation farther on here.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Thank you for the question, Representative Hornstein. Further questions on this portion of the slide, or should we have them roll it down a little further?
So the next function that receives general funds on the list here is our freight service, and that, for people who don't know, it has to do with issuing permits for oversized and overweight vehicles, also some hazardous materials regulation, although that's been greatly reduced, and then some other planning and associated activities that have to do with freight shipping throughout the state. And our total spending in that function for 2010 was $332,000. Mm-hmm. And now that we've lost our headings, I'm not sure what the years are in the out columns there, but the governor's recommendation for the next biennium is $257,000. Per year in 12 and 13.
General fund appropriation, or is that fees that go into the general fund that we spend on behalf of the freight operation? Because aren't there fees attached to those permits for specialized freight?
Mr. Chairman, this is just the general fund appropriation, and we'll get to the permit fees shortly as well.
Thank you.
And so the next function that receives a general fund appropriation is our passenger rail office. You can see that our spending in 2010 was $449,000. And going out to the next biennium, the base and the governor's recommendation are both $500,000 per year. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, you can see that we did spend a substantial amount of that appropriation on professional technical services. We have continued to try to advance the planning for passenger rail in the state of Minnesota, and including a study that's just recently been completed about governance and financing options for passenger rail in the future for the state. Mm-hmm. Then going down, we had a very small...
Mr. Peterson, Representative Schimanski has a question here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Peterson, under the passenger rail, the 1A0 full-time, I noticed from 10 to 12, it's gone up about $95,000. Are we looking at one more employee or a couple more employees in that position? Or?
Mr. Peterson,
Mr.
Sorry.
Chairman, Representative Schimanski... I think the plan has been to add one more staff person to their office. I don't know that they have actually followed through on that yet, just pending the outcome of the budget session this year.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Representative Benson, did you have a question, or were you?
No.
Okay, good. Thanks. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you see that for 2010, we had a little over $1 million of general funds in our state roads program. And then in 2011, about $400,000 as well to carry over. And those are in professional technical services. And in 2010, aids or grants to other governmental entities. And I wish I could tell you what that was for, but I honestly don't know. We were sitting here going through this information, and I was surprised to see that down there. It's very seldom that we have general funds that we spend in our state roads program.
That's
but the committee
did strike
has an interest,
me as a little
we can
odd.
Track it down for you.
Okay. Well, it looks like the governor isn't suggesting we do that anymore moving forward, so I think we would agree with him on that.
Then we have a small amount that goes into some of our agency management, space rental, and maintenance utilities. So,
okay.
Move ahead.
Yes.
So here, the next topic is special revenue fund expenditures, and their special revenue funds. These are typically dedicated receipts, and for which we have statutory spending authority. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, the by far the largest amount of our dedicated receipts in these funds come from agreements with other governmental entities, whether partnerships or specific interagency agreements or interstate agreements that we have for example, maintenance of bridges. And also for damage restitution, and that those revenues come from when vehicles hit our infrastructure and do damage, and we repair it, and then we bill the insurance company and get repaid for that, and that goes into the special revenue fund. So the by far the largest amount of revenue in our 200 funds come from those sources. And just for the committee's information, our partnerships, we have kind of two kinds of partnerships. We have our what we call our blanket partnerships, where we enter into kind of broad-termed agreements with local governments for which we provide services. For example, we do materials testing for construction projects, do some engineering work, things of that nature. Or we might enter into an agreement with a local government to exchange services for them, like maintenance of infrastructure like plowing a road or something of that nature as well. So it runs quite a range of services. in multimodal systems, and we have $34 million total in special revenue. Aeronautics, $59,000 in 2010, and $746,000 we expect in 2011, and then you'll see it on the out years, $204,000.
Mr. Peterson, those funds, those are funds, general funds that are being expended on behalf of Aeronautics? Is that what I understand? And they're going elsewhere to another agency or something?
No, Mr. Chairman, this would be revenue that we receive through our Aeronautics office for one purpose or another. That, again, some type of service, I would imagine, looking for.
Mr. Tara would be an
Mr. Spellman.
Would be an external source coming into the department for an aeronautics purpose.
So it could be, for instance, the Department of Ag needed to fly some scientists to Worthington or something? And I know they can rent the state airplanes and do that. Would that be where this would show up?
I'd have to check, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I was scanning the crowd for our...
Well, Mr. Roy's hiding over there on the side.
Yeah. We could have Mr. Roy, our resident expert,
sure,
provide some answers to that question.
Mr. Roy, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee, my name is Chris Roy. I'm the Office Director for the Office of Aeronautics with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. I believe some of those are exactly what Representative Beard had talked about, would be repaying for use of the state plane. But another thing that we do is we get reimbursed by the FAA for something called 5010 inspections of the airport. So we do inspections on behalf of the FAA, and we get reimbursed for that. And there's probably a handful of other like sorts of things that are happening down there where we'd receive some revenues for services that we're rendering to other agencies.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I'd forgotten about the FAA connection. Thank you. Further questions for Mr. Roy? Thanks for clarification. We appreciate it.
So we'll move down to transit then, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see there's almost $32 million spent in 2010. And looking out to 2011, it goes up to $51,725,000 and then about $43 million out into the planning horizon there. And if I can just go... Excuse me, bring your eyes down to 5BO and 5EO, aids and grants to cities and towns again. $18,707,000 in 2010, and that kind of decreases to around $14 million out through 2013. And then on the 5EO, $9,400,000 in 2010 and $2 million in 2011, and then nothing out into the future there. And just for the trying to follow my notes here, the $18 million line, the 5BO aids and grants to cities and towns, that's the revenue we receive through the parking garages in downtown Minneapolis. The MnDOT owns the three large parking garages that are over 394 mm-hmm. near the Twins ballpark.
The Target Center.
And we have an agreement with the city of Minneapolis to operate those garages, and so this is the revenue gets deposited in the state account and then largely returned to the city for operations and maintenance of the garages.
Okay. Representative Benson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Peterson, there's a huge jump in the right-of-way, and I've talked to you before, and there's some projects that are going to require some right-of-way, but can you explain that, the 24-5 in there?
Mr. Peterson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, yes. That's for activities that the department is performing on behalf of the Central Corridor Project. We have an agreement with the Metro Council to acquire right-of-way for the Central Corridor Light Rail Project, and so we they reimburse us as we proceed in buying right away. So that's what those amounts are for.
Okay.
And the next activity is freight, and you see that in 2010 we had about $2,200,000 worth of activity in the freight office, and we're expecting about $5 million in this current fiscal year, and we're budgeting for about $2.7 million for 12 and 13.
I'm trying to understand how that relates to the other freight line that we, or freight entry we had just a few moments ago.
Mr. Chairman, that was a general fund appropriation. This is special revenue.
Special revenue funds. Thank you for reminding me. Yes.
Then for state roads, again, 2010, about $12,200,000 worth of activity. We're expecting about $24.5 million in 2011, and then we're budgeting for about $15.4 million going out through 2013 as well in our state roads program.
Could you refresh our memory, Mr. Peterson, on how funds come into this program, special revenue funds for state roads?
Mr. Chairman, I believe this is the revenue we get from the partnerships I mentioned earlier, where we do construction management and testing and provide engineering services for construction projects.
Thank you. Representative Benson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Peterson, could go back to that. I had more questions. I wasn't going to ask them, but just first of all, $24 million, if it's Central Corridor, it is for Central Corridor is a street already. So can you help me understand how $100 million to buy what we already own? And then the second question is, are we really sure the federal government's going to continue to fund the Central Corridor? I know these are planning, but these are questions that I think would be probably good for the committee to ask.
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, I don't have that much detailed knowledge of the kinds of right-of-way that we'll need to acquire for the Central Corridor. Obviously, a lot of it runs down University Avenue and on city streets, but there may be places for stations or staging or other types of right-of-way needs that are there, and looking around to see if there's anyone here who can help me with that, but we can definitely provide you with that information.
Please, okay.
All right.
Kinds of right of way.
And the idea, I mean, the second question is the idea of contingency regarding any of this in terms of we spent the money, because it's a payback deal from what I understand, how you explained it. You buy it, they pay you back. We bought property that we don't need because we can't, anyway.
Now, Mr. Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Benson, yeah, the payback is very short term. I mean, we make transactions on a daily basis, the way I understand it, when we need to, in order to keep ourselves fully funded for this activity.
Okay. Follow up?
No, I'm good
for now. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, in our operations and maintenance in our state roads program, you know, we had almost $6.5 million worth of activity in 2010. We're expecting about $11 million in 2011, and budgeting in the out years for about $6.5 million. And again, by far the largest share of this is our damage restitution, where we're repairing infrastructure that's damaged by vehicle hits and things of that nature.
Say mailboxes and snow plows or something like that?
Mr. Chairman, it's usually guardrails and light poles, I think.
Oh, that kind of damage that the citizens do to our property. Okay,
yeah.
I see. So a higher number there does mean more money going out.
Right. That's correct, Mr. Chairman. All the again, the lion's share, the vast majority of this revenue reflects expenditures that the department makes to repair infrastructure that's damaged.
Yes. Yeah, my son hit a light pole on 169 one day. I think that was about a $2,400 adventure, if I remember right, by the time the insurance company was done with you guys. So, yep, I see how that happens.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we've had much more expensive damage than that done. We've had bridges hit where we've had to do some very substantial structural repair to those different times as well. So, put on electronic communications. Again, this is our primarily the public safety radio system that you heard about the other day, and we have a lot of interaction with local governments with that project, and I suspect that, again, the lion's share of this is related to that, that project. Then we have local roads. Very little activity in 2010. Apparently expecting about $1.5 million worth of activity in 2011. Again, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, but I don't have detailed information on what the okay. cause of that or what the expectation is that creates that. And then agency management, $1.6 million in 2010, $3.2 million in 2011, and it looks like about $1 million of activity we're expecting out into the next biennium. Again, these are primarily related to agreements we have with other governmental entities for different services. And then some smaller amounts for building services, $810,000 in 2010, $2.5 million almost in 2011, and then we're expecting about $600,000 out in the next biennium as well.
I'm looking at building services, and I'm trying to think about what that would be. Again, with other agencies that rent space from MnDOT, or are you mowing grass or taking care of their parking lots or something, or how would that fit in?
Mr. Chairman, we can get that information for you, but we do have agreements with other agencies that occupy space in some of our buildings, primarily the State Patrol and the Division of Vehicle Services in some instances. Then we also have some joint maintenance facilities with county and city governments in different locations, and so there could be an odd sprinkling of this, but we'll get that detail for you just to make sure we're not misrepresenting.
I'm seeing a jump in 2011's is that expenditure or revenue? Special revenue fund, we'd be expending out of that fund, wouldn't we?
Mr. Chairman, with respect to special revenue funds, I think it's about the same. Our spending is kind of tied to the revenue that we expect to get.
Okay, so that money just moved through then. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, our authority to spend the money is triggered by the receipt of the money, generally speaking. And so then the next topic of discussion here is fee dedicated accounts. So this is has to do with revenue collected through fees. Mr. Chairman, you asked about our our permits for trucks and that kind of thing. And so this is where that revenue is recorded. And so we're talking about amounts collected by fee and into dedicated and non-dedicated accounts by program and budget activity with their legal citations associated with this, and so this will be provided to members of the committee when we provide you all with written copies of all this. And we have a purpose of the fee and the disposition and use of the fee proceeds, which is also then given a revenue code. And non-dedicated collections are deposited to the fund and have no specific or designated purpose other than to provide revenues to the fund. So if there's these fees get deposited in the Trunk Highway Fund, they show up in our fund balance, and then we get them appropriated for our eligible purposes. And this document is not very friendly for the display, unfortunately. It's 11 by 17, but we'll see what we can do to put it up here so it's legible. And again, I apologize for the kind of clumsy display here. Let me see if I can shrink it down. So I'll try to navigate back and forth there with people's indulgence, Mr. Chairman, just so people can kind of see. So the person we have is in the general fund of multimodal systems of commercial vehicles, motor carrier permits and fees. So this is for permits and fees that are deposited then in the general fund and primarily related to the unified program unit fee and the hazardous material shipper registration fee. And for that activity, we had $128,000 in revenue in 2010, and our expectations are for generally about $150,000 a year for that purpose. Then in the 200 fund, so this would be similar to the special revenue funds we looked at earlier in terms of the manner in which we collected and our ability to use the revenue. We're looking at rent of our rail bank right-of-way. So this is basically former active rail lines that have been abandoned and the department has acquired for potential future use as a transportation corridor. And we had $28,000 worth of activity there, and we budget or have an expectation of about $275,000. Mm-hmm. Again, Mr. Chairman, this is entirely driven by, you know, the demand or the opportunity to rent out some of that land. The next one in the freight area is a rail safety inspection assessment. So we have rail inspectors that work for MnDOT, and they go out.
How many? Well, you're going to get that to us.
Yeah.
We'll looks like there's Mr. probably Chairman, yeah. two on there.
And so then we charge the railroads that we inspect.
For that. Representative Szymanski had a question in this area also.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Peterson, just to back up one line to the rail bank, I think you called it, the right-of-way until needed. Is that revenue, are those rail beds rented as for trails and those types of things, or what are we looking at a revenue source there, or is this an expenditure?
Mr. Peterson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Szymanski, this is revenue, and I don't know the specifics of the agreements under which this revenue is received, but we can certainly find that out for you and provide that to the committee.
Thank you.
And the rail inspectors are driven by fees from the inspections that we give. Do we act as the federal agent for FRA on that then, or do we operate in conjunction with federal railway inspectors as well? Can you speak to that?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that we work in conjunction with the federal rail inspectors, that there are separate federal inspectors that don't work for MnDOT.
Okay.
Again, it looks like we're looking at between $150,000 and $125,000 in terms of expectations for revenue out into the future. And I'm going to try and just leave this
leave it down the middle. We'll
projection
be
right
good.
Here. It kind of captures most of the essential information and not move it around so much. Maybe it'll be a little easier to follow. So the next line there is our MnPass fare receipts. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people are aware of our two MnPass lanes, one on I-394, one on I-35W, which just opened up this fall. Our revenue for 2010 was just a little over $2 million, and we're expecting almost $2.5 million in 2011. And that appears to be our expectations going out into the next biennium as well. Then the next line is permits for forest products haulers. There's a special permit that log lumber companies, log haulers can get for use of, so they can haul overweight during certain times of the year. And this is the revenue from that fee. And this is the part that applies to permits to haul on local roads. Yeah. So this is deposit back.
Representative Nelson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I see there's a jump in the, going back to the highway toll revenue, there's a jump there in the next biennium. Is that because of the 35W urban corridor coming online? And I guess that's the first question. And the second question is, does that recover the costs, or is that, are we subsidizing that?
Mr. Peterson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, yes, the increase in revenue is our expectations for additional subscribers and additional users on the I-35W corridor. 2011 will be the first full fiscal year that the entire corridor will be open for the MinPass users. And my understanding is, thinking back to information that was presented earlier to the committee, I think the total operating cost for the two corridors is around $2.2 million. So we expect to be just slightly over our operating costs this year.
Okay. Good question. Thank you.
And the next line down is permits for hauling agricultural products. Again, there are, and this again is for local roads, and so this is revenue associated with permits that ag products haulers get for, again, hauling overweight on local roads.
I see that it says that it pays for ag products road damage, and it's $600,000. I'm wondering if we've actually done any kind of measurement on that to see if we do $600,000 worth of damage.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe we've ever done that type of analysis. Whatever revenue there is will go to that purpose. I suspect it may be more than that.
Representative Keel wants to set me straight, I'm sure.
I was informed in my local area that the road I live on is highly traveled, and if we don't find some more money, they were going to put it back into gravel. But yes, sugar beet trucks put a lot of damage on the road, and I know I pay that every year, so that we can have the privilege of carrying heavier loads, semis. We've gone from tandems to semis, and so that becomes a problem because those roads are not 10-ton roads, in my understanding is. So I don't know. Yeah. I think they're trying to work that out with the sugar company up there, so we'll see.
Well, thank you for educating us a little bit on that. Representative Morrow.
Well, I suppose I'll jump in with Representative Keel, and Representative Keel, that's exactly right. That's why the Association of Counties, Transportation Alliance, the townships all want to see 10-ton roads, in part because of this very problem that we see in ag areas. And certainly you're probably hearing from township officers and others who are talking about the roads that truly are gravel right now, mm-hmm. and trying to maintain them. And so that's one of the very deep difficulties in an ag area that we have to deal with, whether it's timber, sugar beets, corn, soybeans, or the like. And that's why, Mr. Chair, you and I have been on this committee talking about a 10-ton road network,
yep.
throughout Minnesota.
Yes. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to add, too, that because of the wet falls, we are hauling corn out in the spring, which is also has become a major problem for the roads in our area. And there's a lot more corn grown up in the northwestern area. I don't know if the southern corn farmers harvest in the spring or not. So that I don't pay attention to. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your input on this. And yes, it's one I'm sure we'll be talking about after we get done with the Finance Committee too, because I think I heard that there's another weight increase coming for something related to a product that needs to move in the winter time. So it never ends. Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We're just moving down then to, we have a small amount of fees associated with airport and aircraft dealer, and that's $13,000 in 2010. It looks like about $10,000 is the expectation going out into the future. And the following that, we have a fee associated with the use of MnDOT-owned aircraft, so fees that we charge people for transporting them in state-owned airplanes. And $642,000 worth of revenue in that account. in 2010, and we expect about a $500,000 worth of activity out into the future. So.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, here we're looking at other revenue associated with fees. This is revenue that's deposited in the Trunk Highway Fund. Yep. And so just to contrast it with what we saw earlier, that was for local roads. This is for permits and fees associated with the use of the Trunk Highway System. Mm-hmm. And there's we had to pay back $29,000, it looks like, in 2010. And looks like our expectation is for about $2.3 million worth of activity in 2011 and out into the future.
Okay.
And I suspect that the $29,000 negative number in 2010 has to do with some accounting adjustments that were made along the way between the different accounts I received permit.
I think it seems to me that Representative Hornstein had a bill last year or 2 years ago that did away with the duplicate permit we had been charging, where the feds did the same thing we were doing, and we charged them an extra $20 to have a Minnesota sticker on it as well. And I think we refunded a little money related
to Representative Leader,
I believe, Mr. Chair. Chair Leader might have had that bill. Okay, I remember of that situation. So. Yeah, it was something about hazardous waste reporting, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct, Mr.
Thank you, Representative Morrow, yes.
Yeah. So we have the first line has to do with the fees associated with, you know, motor carrier permits and shipper registrations, and then the second line there has to do with the overweight, overlength permit fee, so two mm-hmm. different, fairly substantial programs in that respect. $3.7 million, it looks like, we're budgeted for this year, and about $4 million in the next biennium. Again, these expectations for the future bienniums are kind of based upon our experience with the amount of customers and transactions we have associated with these programs. It's all depends upon what happens in terms of demand.
Let's move down to the road equipment cost. Do we rent the striper out or do striping for other jurisdictions and then bill them for that?
Mr. Chairman, the road equipment cost recovery and sign fabrication cost recovery are entirely internal MnDOT business operations.
Oh, okay.
So these, in essence, are fees we pay to ourselves for these two functions. So we have a central striping function, and that's and the districts basically hire that out. And they go around and restripe roads throughout the state. Mm-hmm. And the same with the sign fabrication. We have a sign shop here in the metro area, and the districts need new signs of different types fabricated. Then they hire our sign shop to make them for them. We don't do all the signs internally. We purchase a lot, especially the standardized ones, like a stop sign, for example. But mm-hmm. the specialized signs that might have, like, interstate information that, you know, miles to the next city or something like that, more likely be made in our sign shop.
Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Peterson, if you allow me to step on time one moment. Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl and I had talked together with the township officers, and their number one thing they at least talked to Dean and me about was mm-hmm. signs. I know this is not MnDOT signs, but I mm-hmm. hope that as a committee we might look at the cost the townships are facing with signs, replacing signs, mm-hmm. and some confusing regulations when it comes to signs.
Is this the federal initiative that's requiring them to come up to certain codes on named streets and so on? Yes, this is going to be problematic going forward. Thank you for reminding us of that. Again, that's not Mr. Peterson's responsibility, but it is a responsibility we're going to have to address. Thank you. Anything else there? Maybe Mr. Peterson, let me just ask the members, anything on that page besides motor vehicle fees that we want to talk about, rather than have you go through every painful line? So we're going to be getting this in hard copy eventually. So let's jump down to motor vehicle fees and talk about that one for a moment.
Motor vehicle fees. So we're looking at about $4 million in revenue in 2010, and Our expectations are almost for $3.5 million in 2011, and that's our about expectation going into the future as well.
So we're renting vehicles to someone?
Mr. Chairman, this is revenue collected on vehicles that are rented for a short period of time, as opposed to like the motor vehicle sales tax. So this, some of this revenue is what is deposited, half of which goes to the transit assistance account, and half goes to metro area counties, except for Hennepin and Ramsey.
Yes.
As part of the funding bill that was passed a couple years ago.
Yes, I recall of this now. Thank you. The leased vehicle sales tax, I think we called that, didn't we?
Yes. Okay. Then this is... Pardon me as we just kind of bypass some of this extra detail here that you will eventually get, and if you're really interested, you can explore it to your heart's content here.
Well, I see the number 203 pages up there, and I'm looking at the clock thinking. Federal funds revenue.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, here's the federal funds piece that we were referring to earlier.
Yes.
And again, a lot of the detail is contained in the budget book towards the back. There's a few pages of detail there. And so what we have here is what we're providing here is just kind of a duplicate of that information. It includes federal grants deposited directly to the Trunk Highway Fund, and those that go to other state and state funds and state aid funds as well. And it's I think helpful to note that the federal revenue that goes to trunk highway purposes is treated differently than all other federal funds that come to the state of Minnesota, and that is deposited into the trunk highway fund when we receive it. Other federal funds go through what we call 300 funds, which account for federal revenue. And so the accounting for it is different, and we manage it differently. For example, there's a direct appropriation in the bill that the committee will eventually pass out, and as opposed to we have the notification of our expected receipt of general funds in our budget document, and that basically the legislature's review of those amounts gives us the ability to spend up to those amounts during the fiscal years. So here we have for the Trunk Highway Fund our expectations for federal funds. 2010, we had about $305 million. We're budgeting $519 million for 2011, and then we're looking at $372,800 out into the planning horizon there in the next biennium. You go to the bottom of that section there where you see appropriation 058, 3DO, highways, bridges, and airports. That's the amount that gets spent on construction contracts.
Okay.
On the trunk highway system, not those ones that go to local road system. So here we have federal funds that go to other purposes besides the trunk highway system. So we have $65 million in 2010 for aeronautics, and we have a general estimate of $75 million for 2011 and into the next biennium. For transit, almost $61 million in 2010, looking at hopefully $66 million in 2011, and then again kind of an expectation of about $58.9 million each year of the next biennium as well. And again, these future amounts are like our best forecast of what's likely to come through the various programs that they receive money through.
Okay. And that's because we haven't had the Surface Transportation Act renewed. Usually that's renewed for six-year chunks, isn't it?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
So this is your best guess at what that might be. Okay.
Then line 13 here is our freight function. So $6.4 million in 2010 and $8.4 million almost in 2011 is what we expect to receive, and then almost $9 million each year the next biennium as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I think a significant part of that is a program to improve grade crossings at railroads.
Thank you.
Then line 16 down our passenger rail. This is our expectations for federal funds for passenger rail activity. $311,000 in 2010, looking at $1.2 million in 2011, and then $2.5 million in 2012, and going down to $465,000 in 13.
To be clear, Mr. Peterson, are these like for planning and program stuff? This isn't subsidy for lines that are running now, is it?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. This is for development of future passenger rail lines and passenger rail service.
Okay.
And on line 20 here, then we have state roads program planning and delivery, $11 million. Well, for state roads altogether, it's $11 million in 2010, $44.8 million in 2011, and then $11 million in 2012, and $10 million in 2013. That's our expectations. And
could you explain why then the 2011 expenditures in several areas are so much higher than they are in 2010 and even going forward? Is something unusual occurring this year?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know exactly what the activity is, but I see in the professional technical services there's a $35 million or $34.5 million mm-hmm. Expenditure expected there, or receipt of funds, I should say, expected. I don't know. Do we have any?
We'll have
to check on that.
Okay, thank you.
But it does jump out. And here we have the federal funds that we expect for local road improvements. Again, the federal road and bridge money that comes to the state of Minnesota is divided between trunk highway and local roads, and so by far the largest part of this is the amount of those funds that go to local road improvements for construction. And you'll see it's $139.3 million roughly in 2010 and $162.8 million in 2011, but based upon our forecast for the total federal funds that come to Minnesota, we expect there to be about $150.8 million each year available for local road improvements in the next biennium.
Okay.
And then finally we have some information on the federal stimulus funds. We received $265 million in 2010, and we're looking at another $121.8 million in 2011, and almost $34 million in 12, at dropping down to $7.6 million roughly in 2013. And that's just as we continue to kind of finish up the projects that we've been working on that were funded with this revenue. It will just gradually work its way down to zero.
Okay.
And you can kind of see the different activities that this was distributed across aeronautics. Again, in 2010, almost $16 million. Transit, just a little over $7 million in 2010, and $8 million or almost $9 million in 2011, $8 million, and then $7.6 million out in 12 and 13. In the freight function, we got about $3.4 million in 2010 and just another $800,000 in 2011. And state roads, again, $167 million in 2010 and $26.5 million in 2011. And if you go down again to 3DO highways, bridges, and airports, you can see that almost $156 million of that $167 million actually went to construction projects.
Stimulus? This is part of the stimulus, and we're still on?
That's okay. All these amounts are from the stimulus, okay. The federal stimulus bill.
There was another category up above. It wasn't 3DO, but it also talked about airports. There were like 14 or 15 million in there.
Yep.
Is that rolled into that number down below in line 3DO also? Or is that a separate category?
Mr. Chairman, that's a separate category. So that would be, this $16 million would be in addition to what you saw in the state roads program.
Okay, I suppose then paving a runway in Albert Lea versus helping build the terminal in Duluth are probably two different accounts then, or something like that, I would assume.
Mr. Chairman, I believe if it was for a terminal building or for a runway improvement, it would both show up in this aeronautics activity.
Okay.
And what shows up down below and what I mentioned as a 3DO, and that's in our state roads program, so that's all work that's done on the trunk highway system.
It is. Okay. Okay.
Other questions?
No. We're good. Keep moving, I guess. Okay.
And again, this is stimulus funds again. So this was this is the amount that was spent on local road improvements. So $71,741,000 in 2010, and we expect about $81.3 million in 2011, and then again another $25 million approximately in 2012 before we're through with that. And you can see that shows up as aids and grants to counties and cities, which is to pay for their construction work.
Mm-hmm.
Then you ask for information on reports. Since July 1st, 2010, and there have been 19 legislatively mandated reports submitted to the legislature at an approximate cost of $275,000, and we'll be providing you with a list of all 19 of those.
Okay.
And, of course, these, if not all, certainly the vast majority of these reports are submitted to the committee and are also available in the legislative reference library. And I don't know if you want to go through these at all, Mr. Chairman. They cover a variety of topics that relate to work that the department does. Trunk Highway Emergency Relief Account, for example, is an account that was established by the legislature last year that we deposited $5 million of trunk highway funds into, and then we use that to fund emergency relief work that we can get reimbursed for by the FHWA, and so then we put those reimbursements back in the account, and so it's a kind of a revolving account for departments used to respond to floods and tornadoes and things of that nature.
Representative Hornstein has a question on this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Peterson, what might be helpful is, some of these mandated reports are just, on a regular cycle. They're required, I guess the STIP and these things. How many of these 19 were just additional reports on specific kinds of topics where there was like an additional allocation? And sometimes you just put it as part of your work plan with existing staff and there's no cost. How many of the 19 were those types of reports?
Mr. Peterson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hornstein, the regular kinds of documents that we produce, similar to the STIP that you referenced, are not included in this.
Okay.
You'll see in like the fourth column from the left, it talks about the frequency of these reports, but these are all specifically required by the legislature. Some of them will go away. For example, here, number 6, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, that will go away when our participation in that program expires. Then we have a special report required for bridge planning, for example, and that's in conjunction with statewide transportation plans. So that's roughly every 5 or 6 years. Mm. But you can see the bridge program annual report is annually by January 15th. The Stillwater Bridge Endowment account annually. And again, some of these are very small reports. The endowment account report, for example, the endowment account was created a year or two ago by the legislature to receive funds that would be used basically in perpetuity to maintain the existing Stillwater Bridge as a bike pedestrian facility. It was part of the mitigation package that was agreed to at one time. And so, you know, my expectation is a report would be just a simple description of the activity in the fund over a period of time. There's no money in it currently, so the report is fairly straightforward in that respect. The debt financing management policy, that was one that was, we established a debt financing management policy last summer. We provided that information to the legislature. So every time we revise it now, we'll provide you with an update. But so there's no schedule for providing that on a regular basis. Some things like the statewide multimodal transportation plan is part of our planning process, so it's something that we would do anyway, getting to Representative Hornstein's request or question. But it was created in statute last year, and so we will obviously be producing that and providing that information to the committee. And along with that, there's the requirement to produce a Highway 20-year capital investment plan. Again, a document that's part of our regular business that we would produce regardless. There's a report required on highway construction training, February 4th of each odd-numbered year. You know, that's something that probably we would not produce and provide were it not required. The Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, I'm sure people are aware of the existence of that program, and so this requires us to report on our progress in meeting our goals with respect to that. Pavement life cycle, there's a requirement passed, can't remember when, if it was last year or the year before, that requires us to do a life cycle cost analysis on pavement selection.
I personally am looking forward to that one. I think the point is, Mr. Peterson, there are some reports here. We're going to get this, members, in hard copy if you wish. In fact, if you don't want a hard copy, why don't you notify the committee administrator? But I'm sure we can peruse this, and these, I think, would be policy actions if we wanted to relieve MnDOT of doing some of these. It's like there's a lot more than 19 there. But, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like 26.
And it'll be posted on the MnDOT website as well, this information. So, yeah, there's lots here to look at and talk about.
And there's information on the cost. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Pause there for a moment. Back up. Let's just give it just a second to look at one of these reports and about what it costs. That's good. Okay. Just for some examples there. The rest area program, $35,000, okay. Some of it, like this North Star Corridor and the 35W Bus Rapid Transit, those were done in conjunction, I think, with some other things that were going on.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Let's see, passenger fleet, bond accelerator program. Yeah, okay. Well, any of our members, you get a brief idea that every time we ask them for a program of work that they actually do the work. And it costs us some money. So, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Peterson, I suppose, and if I could ask Mr. Peterson, Mr. Chair,
please,
this request, some of these reports you noted you would be doing anyway, or essentially be doing anyway. That might be a helpful piece of information.
It certainly would.
Or those reports that may be required, say, by accepting federal funding. So if we could get some sense of the reports are going to occur regardless, that might be helpful.
Thank you for the recommendation. Can you make a note on that, Mr. Peterson?
Yeah. We will, Mr. Chairman, we will provide that information.
Great. Thank you.
And I also think it's worth noting that some of these are one-time only, and as you pointed out, associated with some specific project that's on the horizon or some type of issue that has arisen during the near time period that we were asked to provide information on. So they're not an ongoing requirement.
Okay.
Let's see if I can get down to the next section. Oh, yeah, this has to do with the request for information on our budget development products, if you will, that we provided to the administration as the governor developed his budget. We provided some information earlier to the committee, or to certain members at least, and staff on some scenarios that we developed related to our general fund reductions.
Certainly.
And other documents that were used to prepare the, or scenarios that were developed that were used to prepare the governor's budget recommendation are considered protected data under Minnesota statute, and you're asked to refer to the letter that was sent to Speaker Zellers by Commissioner Showalter that discusses the kind of the parameters around that.
Saw that, noted, and understand. Okay.
And there's the letter. There's also a question about rulemaking. Indicate if the agency is engaged or planning any rulemaking activities. Right now, we're only engaged in one rulemaking activity, and that relates to updating rules pertaining to state aid for local transportation. And at this time, we have no other rulemakings planned, but there may be some related to amendments to aeronautics rules coming up in the future regarding seven county metropolitan region seaplane operations to update the rules so they are consistent with Department of Natural Resources wildlife management rules. And then there's also anticipated some bridge inspection standards may be updated to reflect current national bridge inspection standards, but the bridge office is currently reviewing those rules to see you know, what extent of an effort that would take in order to make those changes.
Understood.
So here's the general fund reduction scenarios information I referred to earlier. I guess I got a little ahead of myself. Again, this information was provided earlier, so we didn't include that here.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I guess we did provide that here. Again, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, again, this was all kind of put together on the fly so we could provide you with some good information today. And so this is that information that I don't know if you can even read it from back there, but that will be we'll provide that again.
In the report as well. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
And so it's for the 5, 10, and 15%. We did not produce a 20% reduction scenario. Then you asked for some information on mobile equipment, and you probably would not be surprised to learn that MnDOT has a lot of equipment. I believe it's over 11,000 pieces of equipment in our system. We have equipment to clear roadways of snow, ice, and debris, to pave and repair drainage and shoulder repair, surface repair, equipment to control vegetation on our roadsides and pick up litter, and also to plant vegetation. We have equipment for bridge inspection, maintenance, and repair of bridges, keep structures safe. We also have equipment that we use for maintenance of rest areas. equipment for traffic management, like to erect signing and lighting, striping, message painting, installing and repairing guardrails, and operating and repairing traffic signals, all that stuff would be included. In addition, MnDOT owns 4 airplanes. 2 of the aircraft provide air travel for MnDOT and other state employees, including the legislature and constitutional officers. But 2 are used primarily by MnDOT employees to travel to airports around the state to provide training and or to inspect the equipment and facilities at those airports. So we have provided, or we will provide, summaries of the current mobile fleet in the last 4 years as of June 30th and detailed listings for each of those periods. We have tried to sort the equipment by class and try to and compiled it in different forms so that hopefully it can be more user-friendly for the committee. We've also provided listings of MnDOT's assigned vehicles and take-home vehicles currently and as of the last 3 years by organization within MnDOT, so by district or division in which the equipment is assigned. And any we have most of MnDOT's vehicles are assigned as needed, but there is a group of vehicles assigned to specific people and a smaller group that is assigned to people who take them home at night. And primarily those vehicles are for people who are expected to be on call to respond to events or occurrences where they may need to leave from home to go directly to the site of the work activity that needs to be performed. There are policies which we will attach and provide to the committee that govern each one of those instances to determine who is able or who gets assigned those that equipment in those instances. We do have one district that is a bit of an outlier from the other districts in that they have assigned their snowplow trucks to individual employees so that employee takes ownership then of the maintenance and state of good repair of that piece of equipment. So as the committee looks through that information, you'll see that that's a bit of an anomaly in terms of the number of pieces of equipment that are assigned to individuals.
I think our police department did that once with squad cars, and it was impressive how much better care was taken of the equipment when the officer had to ride around in it all the time. So I'd be interested to hear how the snowplow thing works out.
Mr. Chairman, we'll try to get you sure. Some information on how that compares to what we're experiencing.
Don't do a $35,000 report on it. An email would be sufficient. Casual comment in the hall will do.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be glad to keep my response within those parameters.
Sure.
So and MnDOT has an equipment management database from which all this data is extracted. It's called M5. And within that database, we keep things like the cost of the initial cost of the equipment, the repair cost, and the utilization rate or the number of hours or miles that the equipment is used every year.
Good. Representative Leidiger has a question.
Just a quick question on aircraft. You've got 4. The state has 4 through MnDOT. Is that the only just those 4 that the state owns, or does public safety own some? Or
Representative Leidiger, DNR has a fleet of them, and State Patrol has a fleet, and they're not under our purview in this committee. But yeah, MnDOT's 4 are the smallest fleet that I know of in
really?
The state. So yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Unless you need to correct me on that, Mr. Peterson, and Representative Szymanski, did you have a question too?
I do, please. May I?
Mr. Peterson, you talked about data sources and keeping track of equipment and so forth. Are most of our vehicles in MnDOT also equipped with GPS locating equipment, so you know where they are, you know, on the road at most times of the day?
You can tell them about that one amazing snowplow stuff if you'd like, Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Szymanski, I don't know. I'm looking up at our fleet. No, I'm getting the shake of the head. I don't believe that we have many vehicles equipped. We have some, I know, but not the majority of our vehicles or equipment are equipped with locators.
Follow-up, Representative Szymanski.
Just to your comment, Mr. Chairman, about the specialty snowplow that could operate without visual capabilities. Mm-hmm. I think there was one in my district a couple of years ago. I don't know if it's any longer in service. But
it was an amazing piece of technology. I think several of us saw it when they brought it here a couple years ago. But perhaps we, again, can have one of those low expense reports just to tell us how it's working out sometime, Mr. Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we'll be sure to do that. Thank you. Okay. And then we have pages and pages of detail to follow up on that. Trying to see what we can. So, and you can see then we also have a 5-year. This is just a table that shows the type of equipment and then the number of pieces of this individual type of equipment that we have. So this is for the whole department. Then we have the some similar information.
Is this by district or?
No, that was for the whole department, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
That's
and
fine.
Then we have just individual pieces and where it's located and the specific type or capacity of the equipment and a specific unit number.
Certainly.
And so, and there, again, there's over 11,000 pieces of equipment there. So,
Representative Morrow has a question or comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, this is probably a good reminder for me, and I'll just share my impression with the committee of being careful of what we ask in terms of questions. And,
sure.
You know, we're talking about the cost of reports. I wonder how much it's costing just to put together every air compressor that's owned and then reporting back to us. So it's a reminder that as we ask questions of Mr. Peterson and others, there's another cost involved as well.
Certainly. Thank you for the comment and the observation. I don't think we need to spend a lot of dwell time on that, Mr. Peterson.
Yeah. I just wanted to, here's a different part of the report. So here's the take-home units that are assigned here. Again, these are by district so that the committee can see kind of where they break down. And so, and then they identify the function to which the vehicle is assigned, not that doesn't name the individual employees. And then we have a similar breakout for assigned vehicles.
Okay.
So they're, again, these are assigned to individual employees, but they're not taken home at night. They're just assigned to them during the work day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see District 2 here starts halfway down the page. That's what I referenced before. The Sterlings are our snowplow trucks, basically your general work trucks.
Mm-hmm. I see you have some 2000s. About how often do we have to turn a plow? Ballpark.
Eight? Okay. Mr. Chairman, yes, I guess our goal is to turn them over every 12 years.
That's pretty rugged duty, so they must be a heck of a truck. Okay.
And then here's the, Mr. Chairman, the kind of the distribution of pieces of equipment across the department. So Admin District 1 has 1,266 pieces of equipment, for example, assigned to District 2, 893, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, you know, equipment, and I believe the committee saw the road calibration equipment that measures the ride and records the image of the surface and stuff to help us with our pavement management. And then Mr. Chairman, I believe that is the end of the information that we are prepared to discuss today.
Okay.
Prepared using the word loosely, of course.
Well, if you print me a hard copy at some point, you can leave all the air compressors out. We'll save several trees on that. You know, in fact, maybe I should respond, or any of us that would like a report, why don't we respond with specifically the areas we're interested in rather than you have you run the whole report? Because we can go online and drill down in through the website if we wish to do that. And we're just investing a few electrons in instead of all this paper. Further questions or comments for Mr. Peterson or Mr. Skolman? Somebody's got to ask Mr. Skolman a question. He can't just sit there all day without making any comments at all. none, we'll let Mr. Skallman off easy today. Thank you for your report, your comments. If you'll hold right there for just a moment. We're back here, or upstairs, Monday. Department of Public Safety is coming back on Monday, and we'll be upstairs in room 5 having that discussion. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just before we adjourn, I wanted to just get a little bit of a sense of the month ahead. I understand on the floor yesterday, Chair Holberg mentioned maybe middle of the month there would be targets, and then we have our deadline of March 25th. Should we assume then that we'll be looking at a finance bill and marking it up sometime between the 15th and 25th of March?
Yes. Yes, you can assume that.
Okay.
Thank you for the question. Let me just chat about a few things here. Next week, we'll be working with DPS and Met Council, those portions of the budget. Hopefully, we'll have a little more drill down like this, and if DPS and Met Council is listening, you don't have to list the air compressors, but some of the other areas of interest, we'd be interested in knowing how budgets have been going and where they've been spent. excuse me. And then we, the notes that I've gotten from our leadership is they'd like actually for us to present the bill, finance bill, on the House floor on March 28th, which I think is 3 weeks from Monday, 4 weeks from Monday. So we've got work to do, folks. So I will be chatting with you, Representative Hornstein, about marking up a bill here probably the week of the 21st and the 23rd. We have those couple days. Hopefully we can do it in committee here. If we have to have an evening, well, we'll just have to buy pizza and have an evening meeting. Otherwise, yes, expect the week of the 21st and 23rd. Actually, before that, with the finance bills that we want to roll in, we'll be hearing on the 14th here in this committee. The 16th, we'll be doing some more of those and wrapping it up and presenting the bill. And then the 21st, hopefully, we'll be talking about it, entertaining amendments, having discussions and voting, so that we'll come out of here with the bill sometime on the 21st or so to be teed up on the floor on the 28th. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I have to tell you that during lunch we were praising you on your running of the committee and getting input. And so I just want to follow up on Representative Hornstein. There will be an opportunity the 14th or the 16th for public testimony to make sure that we hear folks. I just want to confirm that that's correct.
Certainly. Thank you, yes, for bringing that up. Yes, folks will be commenting on this, and yeah, we'll do it. So, and I'm supposed to remind you, you remember where we had our friends at Chart wanted to bring us down on the 11th. Leadership said, you're busy, no field trips. So, I don't know, do you want to see me take you on a field trip anyhow, or should we listen to the coroner and not do the field trip? We'll have to put that off, I guess, until after the finance bill gets passed. So, anyhow, I got my fingers slapped. Now you all know it. Any other questions or comments? What am I forgetting? Something. No, I told them about Chart. I guess here we are. Okay. So, members, I guess with that, we'll declare ourselves adjourned, and we will see you on Monday.